Amen.
All right, Brother Jerry, come this morning.
I have been asked that you reminded me in this song here. I have been asked before and told. They told me, well, I don't know how to pray. How do you pray? I believe God's word tells us, but the song here also has a verse in it that I wanted to remind everybody about. I really enjoyed this song, Brother Jordan. He says, "Thy holy word which taught me to pray." You want to learn how to pray? Read God's word. That's what we're talking about. How can you pray without knowing God's word? How do you pray without knowing who He is? I don't know how you would do it. It's not in a...
The old slaves, World War II, no atheist in the foxhole.
Yeah. True. I understand that. But like Brother Jordan said earlier, if we have a better relationship with the Lord, if we're reading, studying His Word, we can do a whole lot better job of praying and rightly pray. I brought my good Bible here today. They're all good now. But I brought my new one, Brother Jordan, because I had marked some lines in it. And that's one of the subjects that we wanted to talk about was, what do you pray for? We're going to be looking, I'm going to stick closely to the book of Habakkuk. I made the mistake of telling Brother Jordan where I was going to speak from, so I'm going to stay there. I did not realize that he had a series of messages on the book of Habakkuk. Do you remember that?
Yes, it's still pretty fresh.
Okay, we're going to read a few passages in there, and I did not go back. I found the message that's 10 years ago in sermon audio. And I turned over there and I started looking down through there and I saw all the titles of the different messages and I would not go and read them or look at them or listen to them. Did not want to. I want to read these few scriptures here. Hopefully it's what the Holy Spirit gives me. Now, Habakkuk is not mentioned anyplace else in the scripture. His name is not. Some of the doctrine are. You can find nearly every word in here is a doctrine. And that's how you learn how to pray. Every single word, it's page 1517, if you can't find it.
I'm just writing it.
I couldn't find it the other day either. Forgive me. I'm not trying to be mean to you. But I had to look it up. Why was I looking it up? I don't remember now. The book of Habakkuk is a short book. What I've got to say is basically going to be sort of a survey. It's not going to be a particular doctrinal, explanational type message, but it's going to be somewhat in the order of a survey. That you might come back to it, and that you might read it, and that you... What I'm seeing in it, as I saw in it, Brother Jordan, is how it matches and how it causes me to think about the world situation that we're in today. Habakkuk. He said some things that was contentious, and he complained about what God was doing. I'm not sure I'm using the right word, Brother George, complained, but it does have the word contentious in there, contention. But the first four verses of chapter 1. And then after that four verses, the rest of that chapter, and maybe some of the second chapter. I'm not going to be able to go through all of them. But God responds to Habakkuk. And I'll put it in my own words. And basically he was saying, if you don't like what I'm doing, said, this is what I'm fixing to do. And he told him, God told Habakkuk what he was going to do. And Habakkuk repeated it so that we might have it.
Right.
And that words, the words in here can be echoed. It wasn't just historical account. It was a prophetical account, Brother Jordan.
Right.
If you don't like what you see now, he said, this is what I'm going to do. Now in chapter 3, at the beginning of it, he says, I pray. Let's see if that's what he says. Anyway, he's praying. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon some mountain, I suppose, or town, a place. But like David, I like to read the Psalms, because nearly every one of them are up. It's David's prayer. Not just David, but all the writers of the book of Psalms. But anyway, verse 1 of Habakkuk says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. You know, it's amazing, Brother Jordan, as we look out, we watch TV or we read the newspaper or we go down the street, and how many things that we can learn being the saint of being the elect of God. We can see God in these different matters and these different things. Now, Habakkuk, even though he had a complaint, not really a complaint, but he was contentious about a few things, and we can see it here. He belonged to the Lord. I believe that he belonged to the Lord.
No doubt about it.
And I hope each one of us here in our daily lives, as we go forth, we can see things, how God works in our lives, and how he works in our friends' lives, and how he works in our church, and how he works everywhere we go. Again, I read that verse. He's burdened by these things that's going on. Could we say, well, God, why didn't you stop those terrorist activities on those streets up there in Washington? Why didn't you stop them? And God might say, well, you just wait a little while, I'll show you something. He said, I have some things to teach you. And I'll try to read on. I'd like to read the whole book. but I won't have time at all. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? How many times have you gone to the Lord, you thought you were going to the Lord, and began to cry out unto him, said, Lord, why don't you hear my prayer? Why don't you do things my way? And it don't work that way.
No.
But that's what Habakkuk is saying here. Thou wilt not hear. That's his first point of contention. You can call it whatever you want to. Even cry out unto thee of violence. I wished I had more time to study all these thoughts out. But there's much violence in the world today. We can complain about it. Say, Lord, why is all this going on? We don't want it to go on, Brother Jordan. We want comfort and peace.
Yeah.
We want to come down here and sing praises, but we don't want to have any prayer about our brethren becoming seriously ill or anybody else or any others. By the way, we were over here on the way over here today, and the reason I was a little bit late, I started out early. Joel, it wasn't on your side, but there were two car accidents up here. One of them was very serious. You know where Brown Road is? Right there at that intersection.
Yeah, close to the calling operator.
Okay, there were two cars involved, and the first one, we couldn't get through it at first. We had to turn and go down Brown Road. That's what I thought. And we got back in there and got lost. But so we turned around and come back. By the time we got back, it was cleared enough we could get through. But one car hit one of those metal poles out there. And there was an ambulance there. And I don't know the circumstances of the whole accident. All I know, there were two cars involved. There was a fire truck there and an ambulance and two or three police cars. And the road was blocked off. The highway patrol was there and the city police was there. That's not in the city. Is that in the city? Tomball? Okay, all right. And a little bit before that, there was another accident. I could get by it, so I didn't pay any attention. I don't know anything about that one, but there was another accident down there. My Bible says, the Lord reigneth in everything. It teaches us that. Did he reign in the life of those people that had that accident? It was a major accident. I just don't know anything about the condition of the people. But the Lord reigns. Why would he call such a thing? Or know about it. Say, well, those two people are going to run together. I'm just going to let them have it. Those are my words. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. That word save there is, I don't believe, Brother Jordan, it's the word for our salvation. It could be included, but I believe it's talking about, like if I was driving that car I was just talking about and hit that pole, I would be spared, I hope. Well, sometimes the person is not spared. So Habakkuk says, why weren't those people spared? And we could ask the same thing today. Why wasn't Brother JT spared of this situation he's going through?
Yeah.
Why did it happen to him? We go to church every Sunday. Verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me. We see it everywhere. We see violence before us. Well, we saw big violence over there in Washington, D.C. on the 6th of January. a lot of violence over it. We didn't. We could complain about it all we want to, but it's not going to do any good. And there, I'm speaking of us here. And there are that raise up strife and contention. And he continues in verse 4. He says, therefore the law is slacked. He said, God, you're not standing up to that law that was written back there, with Moses. You're not. Things are going awry. People are not being obedient to your law. Why do these things have to happen? And judgment doth never go forth. I'm thankful that the Lord has a forgiving heart for Christ's sake, yes. But right here it says, judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. You're not judging these matters right, Lord. Now, if you think I'm missing the idea here, you just read the rest of the book. So God replied to him. Now keep in mind, in this book, it seems like that God is talking directly to Habakkuk. And then Habakkuk tells us about it, prophesies about it. I don't know whether he wrote this book or not, Brother Jordan. Did he write the book? It is credited to him, right. Correct. And God was speaking to Habakkuk. God told him in verse 5, he says, behold, ye among the heathen. He wasn't calling Habakkuk a heathen, was he, Brother Jordan? I don't know it. Huh?
No.
I don't think he was either, but it was certain. Yeah. Well, that's what we do. Everywhere we go, we see. But we're quick to judge them sometimes and say, well, Lord, why did you let this take place? Why did you let it happen? Behold, ye among heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I, here's where I want you to see this, right here, real close. I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. You won't even believe it if you're told. Now, 10 years ago, let me take that back. 2 years ago, if somebody told me that our nation was going to be in such a predicament under this virus going around, up and down all the borders and across every state in the nation, and everybody's going to have a great fear. Some say that it's a fake, that it's fake news, and some people say it's not real. If you don't feel that it's real, well, ask those people that have died, that 350,000 people that are dead. Says, ask them if it's real.
They probably wouldn't.
They wouldn't be able to. He says, let me repeat this. I will work. This is God speaking to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is repeating it on verse 5. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were be told you. That's a scary thought to me. I want to know what's going on, and I like for the Lord to keep me informed, and if I'm not informed, well, who am I? Who am I that I don't know such a thing is going to happen or take place? For lo, verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans or Chaldeans, which way you want to pronounce it. A terrible place. That bitter, I'll finish that in a minute, but let me tell you something about the Chaldeans or Chaldeans. Brother Jordan pronounces it Chaldeans. I pronounce it Chaldeans. That doesn't change who they are. Do you know who those people were? They were part of the Babylonian Empire. I don't know whether to say part or all of it. But between the Babylonian Empire and the land where the Jew was right, and Judah and Jerusalem and that land in there, there was 1,000 miles across there. Well, why would they be interested in that land? I don't know. God said he sent them. He sent them. God sent them across there. 1,000 miles. And they wanted that land. Count, put it in their heart. And they took off for it. And I don't know how many there were. But they went across there and made captives out of that land. And sent part of them back to Babylon. For 70 years they were in there. But nonetheless, part of them, by the way, this was before that took place. I believe it was. Part of them remained, of the Chaldeans, remained in Jerusalem and Judea and all of that. A governor was placed in there. They took control of the ones that remained. The only way that they had peace was to be obedient to the governor and to the forces that remained there in Judea. But the others were taken back to Babylon. Well, I'll read verse 6 again. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. The Chaldeans were actually more furious, more wicked, more violent than the Judeans were. The way I see it in the scripture, they could care less about anybody else. But God picked them to go in there and take some of the elect. Maybe all of the elect. Could the same thing happen to us today? Could God send another nation in here to take over? He could if he wanted to. He hadn't informed me yet, but I sometimes get a little bit worried about the way things are going. These people shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. That's what the remaining soldiers and Chaldeans did. They marched in there and they took over the villages and the home sites, and other people had to go out and build their own new home sites. They weren't brick and mortar like ours. I don't know what they were like. They were probably very flimsy. They are terrible and dreadful. That's not talking about the house. That's talking about the people. The Chaldeans. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Now remember, this is God speaking to Habakkuk. But the same thing could happen to us today. Verse 8. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar, from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. That's what they're over there for. They're over there for violence. They didn't come over there to feed them and to give them a new home, a bigger place to live, a better government. They come over there for violence. And God has sent them over there. Their faces shall suck up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they did. They went in there and gathered up a bunch of them, took them all back to... Babylon. Now remember, he's telling Habakkuk this after Habakkuk was complaining, or with contention. Can't remember what Habakkuk had said? Thou wilt not hear. God, you're not listening. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Spoiling and violence are before me. The law is slacked. Judgment doth never go forth. Wrong judgment proceedeth. God, you don't know what you're doing. I don't understand, Brother Jordan. I really don't understand how Habakkuk. I believe that he was the elect of God, but how could he be saying such a thing? How could he? It looks like he would know better.
Well, he's saying it with a reverence.
We hope he is.
I mean, it's like Jeremiah, in the 12th chapter of Jeremiah, he comes out and he bitterly complaining. But he's doing it reverently. He's not accusing God of wrongdoing.
But God does respond to him in that fashion.
Yeah, he just doesn't understand why God.
Well, sometimes we don't understand either.
We don't.
We certainly don't understand. Why are these things happening?
Yeah,
why do we see that preacher down there that we've complained about before preaching in the fashion that he's preaching in? He thinks he's proclaiming the truth. We don't feel like he is. His teaching does not fit what we've learned from God's word. Verse 10, and they shall scoff at the kings. They moved into the land. They say, your king and rulers are not doing right. We're going to send part of them to Chaldean, and we're going to send another governor over here, and he's going to tell them how to operate. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Now, when they went in there, they took their false gods with them.
Yeah.
Verse 11 says, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his gods.
Yeah.
I wasn't... God was sending a people over there that believed in false gods. He used an enemy, a wicked person, a wicked nation to go in there and serve them. Well, you reckon I'll make chapter 3? Okay, I'm just going to read some of the verses I underlined. Chapter 2, verse 1 and maybe verse 2. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. What are we going to say when we're reproved, Brother Jordan? I keep thinking I'd have to say guilty. Guilty in my actions. Not guilty in what God has said. Because when I read God's word through here and I see something I don't understand, I say, I believe that. I hope you believe it. Remember the song that we sang this morning? The song, God's word teaches us how to pray and what to say and how to pray it. And if we don't understand something, Lord, help us, help me to understand this. And so you go back and you read the whole context, sometimes the whole book, trying to figure out what was said. Thank you. That's right. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God's word will be sure to happen. Whether we see it happening today or not, it will happen. One thing I'm looking forward to happening is the return of the Lord. I want the Lord to return for me and you. But we don't know when it will tarry to. We don't know when it will happen. Okay, I'll end with chapter 3, a couple of verses there. I want you to see that Habakkuk went to the Lord in prayer about these things. He says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon... Somebody pronounce that word.
Sigiolo.
You think so? Okay. Whatever you said is right. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. You know, three or four months ago, I had a message, Brother Jordan. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but or you might have not even been here. But it teaches us that God spoke. He spoke to us through Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we see in this Bible, everything that we see in our lifetime, He speaks to us. And some will deny that. It's there for a lesson for us. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years that in the midst of years, make known in wrath, remembered. That's what we often pray for, mercy. After God finished speaking to Habakkuk, he was praying for mercy. I believe he prayed for mercy. That's what we prayed for nearly every time we, and I do miss our prayer meetings, Brother Jordan, on the last month of the last Sunday of the month. But usually someone will pray for mercy. If it's not verbal where we can hear it, it's in their heart. That's one thing that I want. I want God's mercy. I want mercy because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want mercy because I know that I go astray. God's word says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That verse didn't leave anybody out. Brother Jordan, I'm going to stop there because of my time. But let's remember to cry out for mercy.
Bible refers to his people fearing. Habakkuk was afraid. Most people don't have sense enough to be afraid. It's an amazing thing. That's one of the things that's a mark of an unbeliever. There's no fear of God for their eyes. But strange, the devils believe and do what?
Tremble.
They tremble. How many people are trembling today? But, it's a very well-known verse, that second verse there in chapter 3. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk is a great, it's a great book, but so are they all, aren't they? But so much can be put into and come out of what we call the minor prophets. But they're not minor, though. We don't call them minor. I don't think anybody that I know calls them minor because they think that they're not very important. They call them minor because they're just not as long as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. But they're really full of very, very good admonition and instructions. All right. Anyone else have a hymn in mind this morning? No, I don't think we've ever sang that.
Do you have tune there for it?
No.
Okay, well, what that's supposed to be, I've got
that here somewhere. Oh, we know 308.
308. Rock of Ages. That has been around for a long time, hasn't it? Of course, based upon what? When
Moses was put in the cleft of the rock.
Right. And Moses desired to see the glory of God. So God put him in the cleft of the rock. Who is that rock, Bruce?
Our Lord.
Yeah. And we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, don't we?